sick and tired of being sick and tired of listening to me talk about what I was going to do but not doing. Now, during that time, I had a very, very, very successful career. I come out of Wall Street, really, really high-end financial planning. I was blessed to meet and work with very, very, very high-end people that would be in the top 10% to 1% of Wall Street, who worked in a model that Wall Street virtually never used. They didn't charge all the fees and all the asset management costs. Basically, they got a huge chunk of what they made. They didn't make anything they didn't get away. Okay. And you didn't work for free because you're still paying your team to do everything. So that's what I did in real estate. And so we'll go through here and I'll show you what we do and how we've done it. We've done thousands and thousands and thousands of properties. If I have a faux pas here and there, excuse me, I'm not a professional speaker. It's not what I do for a living. I'm not a private equity company. This year, my outside speaking gig, would you like to know my entire schedule this year? Tuesday, I spoke in Pittsburgh. Today and yesterday, I spoke here. And that would be it. I do three events here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I teach people from all around the world my private equity model. We're the only one that teaches the model. The cool thing about the model is the way it's designed is before you do every single deal with a capital investor, you receive $10,000 up front on every single deal that you do for the rest of your life. Who would that change how it works for you? Yeah. And then we hold the deals for the long term and we give a family ownership. We'll run through this for you. Everybody stand up, please. So the most important verb in the English language is to be. And most of us remember the old Shakespeare thing, to be or not to be, which of course is only relevant if you're contemplating suicide. We can't change in our house. We have a couple dogs. Anybody else have dogs? You guys are great. The rest of you? And we got a couple Cocker Spaniels, and so they really like snacks, right? And we call them Scooby snacks. So according to our dogs, the thing really is to Scooby or not to Scooby. What a stupid question. Because it's always better to have one. So 17,000 to 18,000 times a day, we as human beings have self-talk. And most of us, when we talk to ourselves, is it good or bad? Bad. So what we do in our very high-end program, Black Card, we do what we call the 1K Club. So the idea is 1,000 times a day, we're going to on purpose put a good thought in rather than a bad thought. Does that make sense? So repeat after me, please. I am healthy. I am happy. I am strong. I am motivated. I'm awake. I'm energetic. I'm a great real estate investor. This is one of my favorites. I attract money like a magnet attracts iron filings. Sit down with that visual. I've been doing this for a long time. For real estate, I've raised over $600 million. And I come out of Wall Street. We get paid to place money. We don't pay to borrow money. Completely different thing. When I look at real estate, I realize that I literally look at it different than any person I've ever seen speak in my entire life. Because I know for a fact that real estate has absolutely nothing to do with real estate. And it never did. See, because Wall Street, they got their flaws, but they got some good things. One of the things Wall Street got is it didn't matter what you sold. Because people in Wall Street, they specialize just like the rest of the business world. So you may do annuities, you may do FX, you may do commodities, you may be doing options, you may be selling insurance. We did different things, but we all knew that our product was basically irrelevant. What we sold and what we dealt with all day long was money. And everybody in real estate, most everybody, they get so in love and involved with their real estate that they forget it's about the money. Does that make sense? And the other thing, when I looked at real estate, the challenge was real estate. And tell me if this sounds like the seminars you went to. And I'm grateful for the educators that I had. And I'm grateful for the educators here. But it was kind of like all of them were trying to avoid the problem. Kind of like in the recovery industry, they call it the pink elephant. Everybody, who's heard of the pink elephant? And what's the pink elephant? There's this huge problem in the room. So it's like Aunt Edna or Uncle Ernie drinks way too much, always at every single family event, and most of us have an Aunt Edna or Uncle Ernie, right? And you're already going, oh my God, are they coming to Thanksgiving dinner? How do we get out? And you go, and they show up at 10, they've already in the drinks, and they just drink way too much, and they ruin every family event. And most of us have this in our family, correct? Hello? And the pink elephant is they drink too much, and they ruin everything. But no one ever talks about it. The pink elephant in real estate requires money. And if you have money, real estate's really easy to buy. So if right now I gave you, if right now you went out and raised $1 million cash, could you buy real estate right now in this market that's tough to buy in? Who could buy all day long with the money? So instead of trying to figure out how to buy without money, why don't we figure out how to buy with money? Because most real estate deals require what? Money. Now look, I love Subject 2. I love owner financing. I've actually done more than anybody here. I've done over 500 Subject 2 real estate transactions. That's a lot. Agreed? Is that a lot? And that's a small percentage of what I buy. Because those are just like free deals. But I wouldn't have wanted to build a portfolio. And when the markets are high, are those deals harder or easier to get when the prices are high and there's not low inventory? Way harder. Real estate is really, really easy if you have money. And the cool thing is, because I come from Wall Street, we didn't trade our money, we traded other people's money. So when I went to this, and this is what I wanted, and when I went to this full time, I was like, John, this is a no-brainer. Raise lots of money and then make it work for everybody. Run through this minute. But the idea is what we're going to teach you right now is to stop trying to find the needle in the haystack in real estate. Most realtors think that what we're doing is just a pipe dream, correct? And quite frankly, for most of us it is. We're going to teach you that you only go looking to buy real estate when you already have the money and or the money and the ability to borrow first, like it should be. Because then this is an easy game. The hard game is trying to deny the truth that you need money, the pink elephant of real estate investing, and try and make it work without money. And who, I did this for a long time. Who tries that? How's it working? It's not so good, is it? So, we have thousands and thousands of early students around the country who have made over $1 million part-time. So we're going to show you a very easy model that's replicatable, that solves the money problem, and we take away money real estate easy. Agreed? I need a little bit more energy. Agreed? All right. We have more Century Club members. That would be people who have over 100 properties in portfolio for the long term than anybody who's ever taught, which is pretty amazing because for the last 15 years, I've barely taught. And the reason is we're going to take the shackles off. Because the shackle for you guys is the same as it was for me early in my career. By the time you learn how to do deals good, to do deals how? Good. You've either ran out of money or the ability to borrow or both. Or maybe you never had either. So once you know what to do, you can't get money anymore. Who's experienced that? Isn't that crazy? Then, our students have raised over $100 billion. So this isn't a new wheel. This isn't a new theory. This isn't a new invention. I formed a private equity company in 89. And basically from 89 to 92, I all on my own essentially figured out every single way to screw up a real estate transaction, known to mankind, and created several new ones. Because the only really way we learn to do something is one of two ways. Number one, we go and screw it up for ourselves, and then we learn. And if we're good, we'll re-explain it wasn't failure, it's a learning experience. When somebody says learning experience, what they're saying is I got the crap beat out of me and lost money. But a reframe is good. Or we pay somebody who's already walked down the path we want, and we invest in their experience. Now, when I started, nobody had done what I'd done. See, because I knew in the late 80s from Wall Street that residential single-family homes made way, way, way more money than commercial buildings. We all knew it. I mean, right now in your town here, where most of us live, what, the big money people are fighting to buy the commercial buildings for what, 4 or 5 caps? Which in layman terms is a 4 or 5% return. 4 or 5% returns, we don't go to work. We go to the beach or the mountains. Go play golf. The market's that bad, who'd ever buy? In single-family homes, a new investor who knows almost nothing can make 10 or 15% on a long-term hold, and you learn just a little bit like you teach today, you're going to make over 25%. Wall Street gets paid on fees. This is hard when you're new to this. Almost none of their compensation is based on performance. Did you know that? The vast majority of Wall Street firms, whether you make a penny or not, they make the exact same money, and it's actually easier if they don't try and make a profit. And we laugh, feel like, well, like, yeah, but John, these movies like Wolf, Wall Street, that's not real. It's like, oh, no. They toned that down so much. But there was no attempt to make the clients money. I mean, they were criminals. But under Wall Street rules, almost legal. We're going to teach you how to ethically and morally raise the money. And who knows that at the end I'm going to have an offer for you guys to move forward and do more work with me? Who knows about that? Okay, I promise not to let you down. I like taking the pink elephants out of the room. We also have the longest running real estate training in history. It's in May is our big boot camp where we actually go out and do the deals. Let's get to it. Why did you become a real estate investor? Make money. Why did you become a real estate investor? Free time. Why did you make a real estate investor? What's that? Part-time work? Someone said it up front. Passive income, money. There it is. Freedom. See, I don't believe anybody in this room became a real estate investor to get a new job. But that's what almost everybody did. And it hurts me. You know, over the years when I've gone out and shared with my brothers and sisters, my brethren as real estate investors, a profession I'm extraordinarily proud to be a part of and be involved with for all these decades, over thousands and thousands and thousands of successful property transactions. We forgot why we did this. Because we all got into this for freedom. We wanted to have a way that we didn't have to work at a regular job anymore. Truth? And we lost sight of that. Because flipping's great. Flipping's what? It'll never get you free. Because as soon as you make the money, what do most people do with the money? Spend it. And then you got to go do it again. You know, and I don't want to be free for a couple weeks at a time here and there. I want to be free forever. Anybody else who wants freedom? All right. We want 10 grand up front every property. We paid up front. I don't even have to make the offer. You do the model, Scott. You don't even need to make an offer. Once they commit and wire the money, you get paid just like real money people. See, everybody else who does money on the planet gets paid when? First, except for real estate investors. We do all these silly little rules that make no sense whatsoever, and the exact same stuff that the brand new teachers teach today is the same load of you-know-what that I was taught in the 70s and the 80s. All about how to avoid the subject of you need money to do deals. So here's our model. First thing we're going to do, we're going to provide home ownership. We're going to provide what? Home ownership. You guys family? Can I have you, could you volunteer and just stand for a minute? Alright. So this is a family. It's a what? Pretty normal, burly model home. It's a mommy and daddy with two kids who work hard, love their family. You know, geez, just a couple years ago it was okay to say they were decent, hardworking, God-fearing Americans. Who remembers when every politician said that at the end of every speech? Yeah, like 4 years ago. It's still okay to say it, by the way. And so they want to own a home. They want to what? And about 35 to 40% of Americans right now today do not own their own home and cannot get a loan because of a lot of financing rules that the government set up and then the bank follows. So they can't own a home, but they want to own a home. The American dream is to own your own what? Home. So what I did is I reverse engineered everything, which most people worry about the wrong things. If I take care of my end user, mommy and daddy, with their kids, my bet in America right now, this is my risk, my risk is a mommy and daddy who both work and love each other and their children can make enough money, good times or bad, to keep food in the kids' bellies and a roof over the head. In the United States of America, I love that bet. Anybody else? It's a damn good bet. I mean, hell, right now, you're only unemployed because you choose to be. If you want to work, you're what? Working. So I need to take care of them first. So I make sure that you have a good home in a middle class, Class B neighborhood, no Class C. Class C stands for crap, and we all know it. Don't buy those neighborhoods. Good families don't want to live in those neighborhoods. Who would? Good family, good kids, good school districts, nice and safe. Mom and dad both work. Kind of a rule of thumb. So a rule of what? Okay, if people in the neighborhood are jogging, the neighborhood's too nice because middle class people don't jog. They don't. And if in the neighborhood people are running, you know, like with handbags and purses, the neighborhood's not nice enough. I got to get them today. This would be a 3-bedroom, 4-bath house in a nice neighborhood. It may have a little sweat equity opportunity, but it's clean and everything works. So the heater works. In my town, air conditioning works. Plumbing works. Water heater works. Electric, all the stuff you need to work works. It may need a little cosmetic, but it's mom home, so she can do it how she wants as she goes. Does that make sense? And we give them a low entry. About 3% is the down. I know in seminar land, I've heard these guys, you know, 40 years ago, yeah, it's a $200,000 house, and we get $20,000 down. You don't get 20% down on owner finance deals with any regularity in the world. Anybody who says that is fully you-know-what. Common sense, if they had 20 grand on a $100,000 house, could they get a loan? Yeah! And then, so what they need is they need a reasonable payment. They're willing to pay a little bit more to own rather than rent, so they get the American dream, and they're willing to take care of the home as if it was their own. Are we in alignment? You guys are great volunteers, by the way. You're doing good. I mean, you nod just at the right time, and he's doing. Your daddy's doing good. Yep. Oh, you're even better. Okay. Yeah. Superstar time. Regular family, regular home, regular neighborhood. Get out of the bad neighborhoods. We can't go to the neighbors. They're too nice. Because the neighbors too nice, that family doesn't need my help. Because they could probably already get a what. But plus in that neighborhood, mommy's way too big. Now, ladies, you're going to like this part. Men, just pretend I didn't say it if you need to. I already know daddy doesn't buy the home. Who buys the home? Mama. He knows the drill. Now, if she's a good wife, she may even let him hold the checkbook. But nope. We're in full alignment here, aren't we? Yeah. Now, hey, you know what? If you want, later we can go out for a beer, and you can tell me you're in charge, and I'll tell you I'm in charge, and the girls won't hear us. Okay, but the reality is, who's in charge? Mama! Mama buys the home. So we give mamas of America regular house, regular people. Now, myself, I've been doing this for a while. Too many people, thanks, guys, you can have a sip. I may need you again, but you can have a seat. Too many times in America, we're taught it's a good thing if they don't buy. I've seen people stand up at stages and cackle equally. It's actually really cool that they give a big down payment and they move in and they can't perform and they lose the house and they act like it's a good thing. If you were taught to do that, don't do it again. But anybody who teaches you that or taught you to do that is a POS, and that's what they are. They're an evil person. Their fellow man. We don't do that. United States of America, single family homes, regular families, mom and dad in regular neighborhoods. I've had 1,200 families that moved in who made the monthly payment on time, almost always. Occasionally there's a hiccup, we work with you. And they did it, and they ended up paying me off in full and getting the deed. It worked. And I had 600 in Australia do it and 350 in New Zealand, and obviously we got a whole bunch more who are going to do it. They just need a little more time because they're already in the house. We designed for you to win. In our program, we go through how you qualify and how to set them up. FHA loans that are 41 to 48% DTI are predatory, in my opinion. Because I know what you can really afford is like 26 to 33% max. So if you're taking home $6,000 a month, you can afford about $2,000 a month worth of bills, and that's it. Because, see, I want you to win. And, see, that's our job, is to make sure they what? Win. I don't put people in who can't pay. I don't put people in who don't have all the down payment. I don't put people in where the monthly's going to stretch them. I don't put people into houses that are pieces of crud that they can't fix because they don't have any money. I don't take all your money on moving because that'd be bad, wouldn't it? My job is to set them up to what? Win. Yeah, because what I want to do is I want to meet you, have a nice conversation. We'll do the full underwriting. We do full underwriting. Dodd-Frank, a lot of people say, oh my God, Dodd-Frank, so hard. Our underwriting policies and procedures from 1991 have been superior to Dodd-Frank. Why? Because it's our home and we need to make sure you win. Because if they don't win, what happens to the house a lot of times? They trash it because you screwed them. And I've seen lots of inventories where, you know, man, he's doing owner finance and he's had his house for 5 years and they look like they're 25 years old with no handyman or repair person ever being there because you screwed people, so they trash the house. So, the owner's got to win first. That's who you take care of, the resident. That's the revenue stream. That's the client. That's who you take care of. Who likes this so far? Okay. Next thing is I have a capital investor. So we're going to teach you the script and what we do, but capital investor. What's your name? Bob, it was my dad's name. Bob is going to be a capital investor. So what this means is Bob is going to put up the down payment, the what? And sign for the loan, and all the closing costs and any repair money and a reserve, $5,000 per house. So when things go wrong, you have what in the bank already? The reserve money. And you're going to pay me, because I come from Wall Street, you're going to pay me a place fee of $10,000 to do all the work. First, I take care of my resident over here. Then I take care of my capital investor. And we're going to talk about what the capital investor wants, but mainly they want a good, solid return. But the main thing they want is they want you to never, ever, ever, ever lose their money. And not losing money is way more important than earning 10 or 15 or 20%. Because they also have been around. They have money. They know when they shoot for too much of a return, they usually what? So they just say no. And he just wants the same thing we want. He wants to retire a little earlier and a little better, but he's not going to do real estate because he already works 60 to 80 hours a year at a good company, either a job or he's an owner or a doctor in their profession that makes a high income. So he doesn't have any time. Doesn't have any what? So that's our capital investor. So first we take care of the family, then we take care of the capital investor. And then you're the deal manager. You do all the work, all the what? You get an upfront placement fee. Who pays the fee? Bob, the capital investor. And then every month they pay. And we'll have they're paying $1,800 a month. We got debt service at $1,200 a month. That means we make $600 a month, right? And that, Bob, you and I split 50-50 after cost. And then 5 years, 7 years, 10 years down the road, when they cash us out, either refinance or sell it or whatever, and they get delivered the deed, then all your upfront money goes back to you, and you and I split what's left over 50-50. Is that a pretty simple explanation of the Brule model? Hello? And who could do that? Who with just a little help could do that right now? And who'd like to help families own homes? Who'd like to help capital investors get nice, safe, long-term returns? And who'd like to get $10,000 upfront for every property you do for the rest of your life and have all the profits? That's my game. That's why I only came out and spoke for 5 days this year. Because you know what? If each and every one of you consume our package, I still make way more money than I do. It's where I'm very, very unique. A couple things that are facts. Not bragging. Not putting anybody down. It's just a fact. I've done more houses here than everybody else combined. Just what it is. And the reason was, not because I was so great about buying houses, I was great about helping families own and helping Bob's place. So let's talk about how you do it. Alright. Learn to raise money. It's the most important skill set you can learn. You're a business. Act like it. This is new to real estate investors. We're used to not being businesses. I won't even ask how many of you don't have a business license. I won't even ask how many of you don't even have an entity. It's the return, not the price. Everybody, all I hear is people complaining nonstop in my town when we were in Pittsburgh on Tuesday and here this weekend. Everybody just about is whining and complaining that the prices are too what? High. Keep it up, please, if you're my competition. Because you've missed the boat entirely. Because it's not the price, it's the what? I mean, if we're making 25%, do you care if you bought the house for $150 or $200? Does it matter at all, Mr. Capital Investor? No, it's irrelevant. 98% of people who invest think it's the price. 2% know it's the return. Who do you think makes all the money? The 2%. Next thing. Right now, we're doing about half on market, half off market. If you're new, if you're what? You don't have a pipeline, you don't have connections, you don't have relationships, you haven't earned or built any of that. If you're new, you're mainly going to buy off MLS. So it's a good thing price isn't the determining factor, because otherwise you'd be in big trouble. Because MLS prices are kind of what? Huh? We're going to buy all the great traditional deals we can. We're going to have spread. Because I've got interest rates here and rents here, I actually make more money than I did in the good old days. Somebody's like, oh, I wish I could do the good old days when it's cheap. I'm like, okay, well, in 1990, that was before the last crash. In 1990, house that sells for $200,000 today, I could buy for $50,000. And we go, well, I'd rather have a $50,000 house than a $200,000 house, right? A $50,000 house, interest rates were a little higher back then. Cost me $600 a month PITI, and the rent was $550. Who wants that house now? I like loses money every month guaranteed up front. Who's in? Good, good. Nobody. Sometimes people just raise their hand every time. Just check it. Today, I can buy that same house that I bought for 50, I mean, literally the exact same house. I can buy it for $200,000. But today, I'll get $1,900 a month rent. And I'm looking at a PITI of about $1,100. So I make $800 a month. If you're in the long-term cash flow so I can retire early mode, which house do you want to buy? The $50,000 one? $200,000 a month. So you're learning a perspective through education that most people don't get. We're going to teach you how to run it like a business, and markets are going to continue to go up until they don't. But the nice thing is, I've got a good family at home. And just, you know, most of my families today, they're about 30 to 40, 20, 45 points away from getting a $600,000 loan. And I put them into a $250,000 home they can pay for. Good times, regular times, and bad times. So most of our residents don't move out because they're fine. Because you can afford the home. You know, kind of big things, and you know, Mina talks about it all the time, but stop playing small ball. You know, we were all taught, you know, I went to the same seminars as you, they were just taught by different people for the most part, although some of the same people still teach. And it was just basically like, look, what they basically taught us to do is, first of all, you're going to try and buy with no money. And if you're also no realtors, which you got no money, you already are at no realtors. You just may have not figured that one out yet. Because why would a realtor want to work with you if you don't have any money? And you're supposed to run around trying to find the proverbial deal that isn't. It's just a hard way to do it. And so what we do is we just take those shackles off. It's like, because I get it, I was new. The problem that you have when you're new, after you do 2, 3, 4 deals, even if you can get the down payment money for that, after you do a few deals, the banks will no longer give you what? Loans. So once you figured out what to do, you no longer can do it. So then you're all trying to pink elephant, find houses without money, which you can do, but it's just a hard, hard way to go. And the better the market is, the harder it is, and we're in a really good market. Who's kind of liking that I'm telling you the truth? Yeah, let's not sugarcoat this. So what we do is we realize you don't have to have money, Jeffrey. You just need to find a Bob. And most of you only need a couple Bobs, because once you find a couple Bobs, you need no other Bobs. Yeah. We're going to raise the money you need now. There's a lot of value still to buy, and we're going to show you how to get in there and do it. We do creative financing almost. So we do the creative financing stuff when it's there. But I understand the market. And the market moves. And I'm going to buy what's easiest to buy today. And today is easiest to buy if you have cash and or down payment and loans. Correct? You can do it without your money. Some of you should think about working on this and getting a potential club. And having 100 properties, not just a few. And then we get 10,000. We're going to show you in just a minute the model I do, step by step, the script we use. And most people who do it from dead stop, never done before, within 30, 90 days, cash the first check. And then our deals, we get paid all the time. And I don't flip often, and you can already figure out why. If you made $10,000 per house paid in advance, who'd flip your good deals? You'd what? Keep them all? All right, got to do this one. I'm not an attorney. I'm not an accountant or tax preparer. I'm not a financial planner or investment advisor. I'm not giving investment advice. I'm not offering legal advice. I'm not offering tax advice. I'm only sharing my opinion. As always, it's recommended that anyone considering taking action seek appropriate advice and legal counsel. There, I should take care of the attorneys. What's that? Yes, I could. Yes. If I did more seminars, I'd be even faster. I'm out of practice. Here's what we want. So because of my background, when I looked at it, I realized there was lots and lots of ways to make real estate. I also, when I looked at single-family homes, I thought, okay, this asset can be done in a lot of different ways, but what was it clearly intended for? The single-family home was designed for short-term or long-term? Long-term. I mean, heck, the loan's 30 years. That is long-term. You can flip it, but there's a lot more risk because, well, first of all, your transaction costs to buy it, closing costs, commissions, sell it, closing costs, commissions. You got a lot of costs. And we're also in a market where you need to be real. You need to be what? We are potentially looking at sometime in, you know, the next few months, the next few years, the market best-case scenario and most likely scenario taking a hiccup, which means dropping 10, 20%, maybe 25%. We're not in line for a big catastrophic downturn because we don't have none of the same fundamentals in place. Before, the problem was there was too many houses. Is that the problem today? And before, there was too many funny loans. Is that the problem today? No. It's a whole different scenario. I realized that I could maximize the monetizing of properties. First of all, I get paid up front. Bob comes on. He does five deals. Five times 10,000, I make $50,000. Are you with me? Hello? Yeah. Upfront, 10K per deal. And for many of you, that'll solve your problem. And even if you start slow and you only do 2, 3, 4 deals next year, 20, 30, 40 grand, how's that help out? That's pretty massive. So it's a real viable plan to make money up front. And this is legal and ethical, and the way the structure is set up and all the docs and forms that we provide you, it is not a security. But you have to follow the plan. Yeah, how long great question, how long does the deal last? The agreement that I do with the capital investor, it's in perpetuity for 30 years. Now, most are in excess of 10. Well, John, what do you do to get an investor? You can only do 6 months. I don't do this sort of transactions with other people's money. Because short-term transactions, although they can make money, they can also what? Lose money. And even the best practitioners lose money on short-term flips, correct? And if the market drops 10 or 20%, the way people buy today, because the numbers are so out of whack on their buys, you're going to lose what? Money. I don't do that with other people's money. If I want to do a deal that can risk losing money, I'll do it with his money. Mine. So all capital investors aren't a match. Amazing question, by the way. Really good. Next thing is when the new resident moves in, we get a down payment. Because they got to have some skin in the game. Some what? That way when the truck breaks down, the 20-year-old truck breaks down in 9 months, they still got to figure out how to pay. And by the way, is a 20-year-old vehicle breaking down a surprise? No! I like to have built-in value equity. I like to buy below. The more experienced you are, the more you'll have. You just need to accept when you're new, when you're what? You're not going to get the deal of the lifetime on every deal out of the gate. That ain't how life works. We're looking for you just to hit singles. From a baseball analogy, hit singles and doubles. Get on base, start making money. And yeah, today you might make $500, $600 a month, and a year from now you might make $900, $1,000 a month once you know how to do it a little bit what? Better. Only positive cash flow. Right now, everything should be positive cash flow, but veterans, we all know, just a few short years ago, lots of people had negative cash flow properties, correct? Yeah, because rents were way what? Lower, and debt service was way higher. And heck, when I started in 1979-80, FHA rates hit 19%. Nothing cash flow at 19%. They could sell you the house for $30,000. It still didn't cash flow. I want to be in areas, all things equal, areas capital growth appreciation. Now I understand that some of you, like I've done some of the time, but not most of the time, you invest in areas where the properties are very lowly priced, not because they're cruddy Class C properties. You're just in a little area, a little town, or a state that's got a low population, or an area, your state's low population, where the properties are really, really, really inexpensive. They're really, really inexpensive because they never go up. When you go buy a $40,000 or $60,000 house in Oklahoma, just understand that 20 years from now, it's going to be a $43,000 to $64,000 house because they don't go up. That's why they're so cheap. That make sense? I prefer an area that's got a little more room to grow. Most of us are in those areas. The other thing, since we hold the properties, we know that over the long term, we're going to do what with our loans? Pay them down. A lot of funny talk in seminar land that repeats every generation of new speakers since they've never been through a downturn. Through a what? They don't know what's coming. Always. Because what goes up always comes down. So they're teaching right now, refi, 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 refi. Which is great. Until what? It goes down. And then you can't refi, and all the refi money didn't all go where it was supposed to do to buy new houses, or a lot of it gets spent. It gets spent. So now you're taking dinners and vacations and a cruise and making them 30-year debt. That's shrewd. By the way, hint, anything a bank or a lender suggests you do is in their best interest, not yours. And if you think about real businesses, and I've read over 1,000 autobiographies and biographies about businesses, and they all do the same thing. When times are good, real businesses, and who wants to own a real business? When times are good, what do real businesses do with their bad debt? They pay it off. And then they start building up a war chest for when times are bad, so they'll have lots of money to go buy deals. Yet what seminar land is cheap. The same people who tell us to try and buy houses without money and pretend the pink elephant doesn't exist, they're also now telling us that what you should do is leverage everything you own to the hilt, completely violating every rule of business. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, and what big companies are doing right now, they're buying their stock what? Back. That reduces debt. Tax benefits. Long term, people can get these things. Section 179, on average, we take conservatively 8 to 12% of the purchase price and get 100% deduction the first year under Section 179. If your accountant hasn't told you about that, you might be shopping for an accountant. So that means, Dave, you could buy a $200,000 house and get $16,000 to $24,000 in your sleep without trying first year tax deduction that offsets all other income, including your W-2 wages. And you're like, ooh, Johnny, I bought 3 or 4 houses a year. I wouldn't know income tax. That's right. Legally. Yeah, Section 179, there's a laundry list of rules. On average, conservatively, investors take 8 to 12% of the purchase price and get it deducted in the first year. Then you have standardized itemized deduction, which deducts 3.6% of the property purchase of the improvement value over 27 and a half years. 199A, set up as a trader business long-term. Doesn't work for flippers, nor does 179, but long-term. So if you buy, so Bob's your capital investor, okay? And he came on for 10. You did better than me. I only got 5. You got him to do 10 houses. You liking the story so far? He's smiling big. So first of all, you made a $100,000 fee. I know you already ran that number, right? Of all the income your guys' investments make is exempt from taxation if you restructure as a trader business and you give it off to structure as a trader business. So you have way more money to make real estate than flipping it for a little bit of money. And then the next thing we do is annually we can increase the income streams on whatever makes common sense. We do this on all properties. We want it and we get it all. Who likes that? Okay. Everybody repeat after me, please. I will have more energy, please. I will have 10 more properties in inventory by the end of 2022. Nice. So, missing link. Here's the challenge. Education is great. Education is what? Here's the problem. If you got little or no results, it's not your fault. For about 5 minutes. So I'm going to fill in the gap. We're going to connect the missing link. There's 4 keys to a business model. So if we were to take a Wharton MBA, a Harvard MBA, I'm from the West Coast, a Stanford MBA, if we were to take a graduate master's degree in business from any of these great institutions, it would summarize the first 3 points in 1 other point. So if you study real businesses, and if you're a real estate investor, by the way, you need to stop thinking yourself as a real estate investor, because that's a hobby. Real estate investors are people like Bob who place their money with people like you and me. A real estate investor, like most people think, what they really are, is a real estate investment. So you need to start acting like them. First of all, just saying it's a business, say, everybody go, John, I'm in business. I have a real estate investment company. First 3 keys to a business. Number 1, have a great idea. Good news, real estate is. It's been proven over and over again to be one of the great wealth creators in the United States of America. Next thing you need to do is you need to raise the money. So think about real businesses. Do they open the business? Do they get an idea, open the business, and then hope someone will do it? Real businesses? You know, the ones that succeed? No, what do? They come up with the idea and then they raise the capital. first. Success leaves clues. It leaves what? I've never met a model where, hey, what we did is on purpose, we started with no money. And it was a good idea. And then the third thing, they have to have a system to monetize. Meaning a way you get paid. So we get paid on every deal. The rule you have to buy the house is we get $10,000 fee, placing the upfront from Bob on every house that we do. And please understand, that's not when I've opened escrow. That's not when escrow closes. Bob wires the money to the bank account that we show you how to set up. And I can instantly take the money out before I've even made a written offer. That's what everybody else does money for. You get paid first like a real business. So, real estate investing is traditionally taught as a flawed business model. It does not work, which is why I struggled and so many of you struggled. You're trying to swim upstream. You're trying to climb uphill. You're fighting a really hard task. Who believes that? So what we do, invest in real estate, great idea. But then, this is what you and I was taught, and you were all taught. Go try and find deals without any what? Money. And I know, because I sat in these seminars, it's really, here's what you do, kid. Go out there, put a bunch of offers off, get a great deal, and as soon as you get a deal, the money will just show up. Veterans, is that how it works? Yeah. It's not all the time. Is it a very good model? And then lots of times, you find the deal, you were so desperate that the deal you find out later, because you knew you didn't know any better, you find out later that what you thought was a deal isn't actually a what? It's not a deal. It was way too thin, and unless you got really, really lucky because it just went crazy up from inflation, you already lost money, right? By the way, please, if you write nothing else down, please write this. Inflation is luck. It's what? No one predicted, no one knows what it's going to be, no one knows when to stop. If you're planning on, if you've made money off of real estate deals solely because they came up, you got lucky. You got what? And here's a piece you got to write down. Luck is not a business plan. Smart and easy way is get the money, then do the deals. Just deal with it, learn to raise the money, then do the deals, it's easy. Real estate investors don't get paid up, yet every successful business does. Because I know, even if I'm great at doing deals, yeah, by the time I get your money, and then today I got to make a lot of offers. I make all my offers. And then I got to clean the properties up a little bit. Then I got to meet all these families. You can do all their underwriting, all their due diligence, and put them in. Well, with closing escrow, and the delays that happen, I might be looking 60, 90 days before the payday. Correct? And that's if nothing goes what? Wrong, and if you're new, it always goes wrong. I got some of you done some deals, you understand. The moment he comes on, wires the money, I get paid when? Now. So I got the heat off. I have money to pay my bill. I get to sleep at night. Who likes that? Because I've already been what? Paid up front before I did the work like a real company does. Yes. Who does the vetting? You do it yourself as a man. You have your own management. You do it yourself. And what we highly recommend is the first 6 months, you do it so that you understand how it's done. Because otherwise, you won't know how an employee or a realtor or property manager is doing it. Because you won't know what the bar is. So you've got to do it for a while yourself if you want to make this work. And somebody's like, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then that's cool. Find somebody like me and you be my capital investor. Because if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it, but it needs to be done. Because what most people do, I already know, look, I've been around and I've done it. I know what most people do with owner financing. They basically hold a mirror under his mouth, and if he can fog the mirror and he's got a little bit of money, he gets the house. Isn't that what most people do on owner financing? Hello? Yeah. Now, veterans, we learned a long time ago that it's always better to leave that house vacant for one more month than put the wrong family in. So it's going to cost me way more to get it back. Correct? And that was before there was crazy COVID stuff. Last thing we do is we run it like a business. We do it. And what we teach is the Burley model teaches professional real estate investment business model. And that's what the package has, and the event we do in April has, if you get with the package. We teach you how to run it like a business because it is. So Tricia Rockwood, this was before she had 100 houses, after the 100 houses. Which Tricia do you like best? Tricia started in 2019. Kind of bad timing because the market was too what? High. Just ask any of your friends or family members. In 2019, Tricia did 56 early model houses. She received $520,000 in fees, or she bought with her own money. And then going through now this year, 21, she's done over 100 properties with over $1 million in fees. I like to show newer testimonials, not ones from 1982. We also have no pictures of checks because I don't get checks. I don't know how you do it here, but my company should wire us the money half for like the last 20 years. Anybody else? I always love when people put up pictures of checks. It's like, nobody gets checks. Money's the key to real estate. It's more important than anything else. So we've identified the pink elephant. We've all agreed it's the truth. Who agrees that raising money makes us an easier game? Having money makes us an easier game. Right. So here's the real secret to raising private money. I learned this from people who made over $1 million a year. I made over $1 million a year. Commission doing we did very, very well. First of all, no high-end producer I ever met in my life used a company presentation. Companies have, you know, today their PowerPoint presentations. Those are designed for mediocre salespeople to get mediocre results. Is that what you want? The entire presentation that we do is done on a yellow pad to the investor or over Zoom, in which case I have them take notes and hold them up so they can copy them. We're on the book. Most of us, most of you do exactly what I did when I was trying to do real estate deals for all those years and I had a hard time finding the deals and getting the money. Is all I did was talk about how great real estate was, how great the deal was, and how great the rate of return was. Anybody tried it this way? And then you'd show pictures of houses, you'd have pictures of example deals, and you'd have reams of paper supporting how cool your deal was, and all these spreadsheets. And almost no one ever gave you any what? Money. The problem was the presentation. Yours, just like mine, sucked. And your results proved it, just like I did. Because that's not what people want. So what you need to do is you need to meet investors' emotional and psychological needs. Most don't know what those needs are. If they did, they wouldn't have any money to invest. It would already be what? Invested. Most investors that we meet with, the really good capital investors, here's their scenario. First of all, they don't go to RIAs. They already work 60 or 80 hours of work. Like most people who own a company or are a high-end professional, they work really, really hard. And here's what most of my capital investors would tell you about real estate. Real estate works. It what? And it's a lot of work, and they already make too much per hour being a doctor or a business owner or a high-end executive. They're not going to spend the hours and hours and hours to learn how to be a great investor and then go do it. Does that make sense? Most of them, between 8 with the real estate and 11 with the stock market, lost a third of everything they own. Would you say that's true for people who have money? Yeah. They got white. Hard. And for most of them, that money's never gone back to work. It is simply sitting and rotting in cash, CDs, money markets, other things that pay under 2%. And it's factual because right now today, there is more money in IRAs and retirement accounts than at any time in the history of the world. Cash deployed at 0 to 2%. Who could provide a rate better than 0 to 2%? I mean, I don't even need to continue the presentation, do I? You can do that. 4% is double to quadruple what they're making now. And they don't want 25% because they're afraid they're going to what's going to their money. They're going to lose it. So I've been doing this a long time. 1987, we had something similar with the big stock market meltdown, then the real estate meltdown. So I know this is an entire generation. Most people who have money are afraid to invest because they're afraid they're going to lose. Now, it's not like you sat down and did 5 years of cycle analysis and you had figured out that you have a story and a mental block on a subconscious level that's preventing you from deploying your capital wisely. And it's not my job to do 5 years worth of psychotherapy with you. My job is to do what I already did with Bob, help you make a decision that was in your best interest to move forward and place the money with me. That's my job. If it's a good match, my job is to help make a decision. It's not to teach you how to do it. Some of you, and I get it, I do it too. Like, because I come out of Wall Street, so I wasn't a traditional stockbroker, but it would be like, so who's ever bought a stock or a mutual fund? Show of hands. Yeah. So let's just pick Apple to grab one at random, right? So if you bought Apple, before you bought Apple, did you fly up to Cupertino, you know, and walk around the building with Steve, the founder? No, we laugh because we're like, John, that's ridiculous. Did the Wall Street salesman, the stock broker, did he require you to learn how to assemble an iPad blindfolded in your sleep? No. But most of you, when you talk to people about investing in real estate, it's like you do a seminar. You try and explain everything about how a deal works, and all they wanted to know was, can I give you my money? And you not lose it? They don't want to know all the details. The problem is, when you explain all the details, you create objections they never even thought of. Right? The less you talk about the real estate, the better. Some of you should take a nice big sign. That's really good for you because you don't know much. And quite frankly, it's way easier for me to train and work with someone who doesn't have a lot of experience. If you don't have a boatload of bad habits that don't work, then I have to come to you. And it is amazing. Even though people have systems that don't, the one thing they know for sure is not giving you what you want and it doesn't work, you want to hold on to it till death and defend it instead of just changing. We are weird creatures. We are really wired. So what I do is I understand that Scott may like me, Scott may know me, we may even be good friends, but 0.1 to 99.99% of Scott's conscious mind is going to believe when I tell him something that I'm lying to him to take what? Money. But this is even more important than most salesmen don't even think about it. There's two brains. There's conscious and, not unconscious. For many of you, that'll be later tonight. The subconscious, which is the most powerful part of our brain. And the subconscious, 0.1 to 99.99% is going to want to take money. And with most of my capital investors, like Bob, he knows the money needs to be invested. He knows it should be invested. He didn't grow that amount of money by luck or accidents and TV in the real world. He worked hard. He put the money aside. He did best his investability. Now it's sitting in rods of cash. He wants to deploy it, but his internal subconscious fear of losing is greater than making a decision, so he makes no decision. He needs someone like you to help wake up. Oops. Not in agreement with what's going on. Weird. Some of you were nodding in there. Just trying to stay awake. Zig Ziglar was a really dear friend of mine who passed away some years ago. And Zig and the speaking of the future is a shining light. Years ago, I used to do the really, really big show. Starting out with the Peter Lowe one. You remember those? Those were basketball stadiums that we talked in. You know, I was there, a bunch of other guys, Zig was one of them. We then did more of the global tours where we were literally in stadiums, you know, with 40, 50,000 people. I know, do you know most people fear public speaking more than death? Okay, so I helped, they do. I helped my son, you know, in 14, he went with me down to Singapore and Malaysia and Taipei and speaking. So I helped him with his public speaking because in Singapore he got to go up with me in front of 8,000 people, which really, after 8,000 people, a couple hundred is pretty easy. Zig Duroy said it best, help enough people get what they want, you'll get everything you want. Remember that. And that's why our first thing is we take care of the family, then we take care of the capital investor, and then there's plenty left for us. And who likes that we're taking care of the other people first? Isn't that the way business should be? Isn't that the right way? So we're going to show you right now how to meet their needs and how you can get rich and provide them everything they want. So there's six talking points. How many? Okay, this is a presentation. It needs lots of energy and awareness. This is how it goes. And I would right now, I would be starting with a blank yellow pad, right? And I'd be like, yeah, Bob, when I meet with successful business owners such as yourself, they tell me that when they invest, it's really important. It's paramount. Everybody say paramount. It's paramount that their money is safe. Bob, would you agree safety is important? What is every single person going to say who has money every time? Yes! I keep waiting for somebody to say no. It's like, well, great, can I have your money? I'm sure I can spend it better than you. No one said no. And I know for most people who are looking the best, whether it's, you know, 50 grand or 100 grand or $1 million or anywhere in between, I know that the main thing they want to do is not lose their money. With me? Safety. So then we talk about safety. And in the audio programs that you get with this, it's downloadable. You get the whole package. It runs you through everything, and it runs you through questions like this. Well, Bob, has there been a time when your money wasn't safe? Well, we already know if he had money, he lost probably a third of it or more in 8 to 11, correct? What was that like? How did that feel? He'll bring up all those emotions about why he didn't want to lose, but it'll remind him that he needs to do something. So we do safety first. Then we do the next one in security. Here's an interesting thing. 75% safety is their internal subconscious word that they probably didn't know. And 25% is security. But if you'll just learn to talk about safety and security, and really all we do is ask questions, that's what? Because if I tell you safety is important, that's a lie. If I ask you if safety is important and you say yes, who said safety is important? He did. So it's... That's the other weird thing. You're lying, and whatever they say is what? True. Is it actually true? No. Might be, might not. But if they think it's true. So that's fine. We can run with that. If I can hit safety or security, whichever your word is, Bob, if we're a match, meaning what I do would work for you and what you want to do would work for me, that's a bigger match. I got a 90% placement if I don't do a real estate seminar. If I do a real estate seminar, I'll probably talk anybody out of anything. I mean, you had people that you thought were going to do something with you, and then you just couldn't shut up, and they end up saying no. Yeah, the problem was you. You were poorly trained, just like I used to. In a post-Madoff, remember Bernie Madoff? Yeah, kind of modern Ponzi guy. In a post-Madoff world, safety is perfect. I don't know if he's still alive or not. I think he recently did. Yeah, he was in rich people prison, which is different than regular people prison, but he was in prison. Doug Stallman. First 9 months, he did 45 deals, made $450K up front. Went on to make over $1 million in fees, $40,000 a month cash flow. Pretty impressive, isn't it? What he did is he learned to not find real estate deals without money, or learn how to pay hard money lenders and do risky flips. He learned how to do the talking points and help Bobs place their money and help families own homes. Next one is long term. A lot of you, and look, in the module we show you how to get flip money at 2, 4, 6% with no points, with no call date, meaning you can keep it as long as you want. I have one hedge fund. They just do $5.2 million. It's 4.75% for 20 years, and I can renew it twice for 10 or 15 years, and no points and no cost. That's my idea of hard money. I was lucky when I started. I lived in a little town of 25,000 people. I found, when I was a newbie looking around to find deals, I found four guys who owned over 100 houses in a town of 25,000 people. I never in my life ever thought it, and never crossed my mind that anybody ever would have 100 houses, let alone four guys in a little teeny town. And one of them was a hard money lender. He also, in our town, there was three pawn shops owned by two different people. And in those days, the hard money lenders usually owned the what for a living? A pawn shop. This is my job. They were into pawn shops. Who goes into pawn shops before he starts with an L? And he goes, when does the pawn shop get the job? And back then, we only borrowed 65% of the valuations. And hard money lenders back then were smart. They were what? See, they didn't lose. If you take yourself into pawn shop, your best outcome is you bring it back and pay an obnoxious interest rate for your stuff back. And if you don't do it, they keep your stuff and sell it for like four times more than you gave than they gave you. That's what hard money lenders were originally. Hard money lenders today, it's just like hard money lenders in 5 or 6. It never even crosses their mind that, by the way, the hard money lenders can use all of the money very quickly. The market is still down 20%. And then you have to learn how to foreclose. And then hold on to a house for years before you can sell. So that's hard money lending. That's why I want a regular family, a regular home, a regular neighborhood for mom and dad both work. Because historically in America, good times are bad, and a regular family not buried in the house can't keep their home. Yeah. Think about your mom and dad and your grandma and grandma. How long did they live in the family home? Forever. That's all this family wants. They want their forever home. Give it to them. Long term. He doesn't want to do short-term deals. He doesn't. Some of you like going, yo, Bob, give me your money so I can flip it. Okay, most people are afraid to flip an egg because it will what? Break, and you want to flip his lifetime earnings. You may get a warm fuzzy about flipping. So you're going to do that, come up with better vocabulary, and we'll show you how to get flip money at a much, much lower cost, because that's how you want to do it. But he wants long-term. He wants to make a great decision once with you, and then have that money just chug away and work for 10 or 20, 30 years. He doesn't want to get in and out of real estate deals. See, we're weird. We want to do this on purpose. He doesn't. He doesn't want to own real estate. He wants safety, and he wants security, and he wants it placed for the long term. And the next one, and I can thank my friend, 30 years, Robert Kiyosaki. When I met him, the book wasn't out yet. So he was named Bob. Robert's on the birth certificate, but he was always Bob. Always what? And then once he became a number one bestseller, he became Robert. To his old friends, his name would be what? Bob. And if he's a pain in the rear end backstage and we're speaking together, and he's a pain in the rear end, which he can be, I would then make sure on the stage to call him Bob about 187 times. Letting you know, don't be a pain in the rear end next time. Bob! Because he didn't like to be called Bob anymore, because now he's number one best-selling author. Number one best-selling authors aren't named Bob, they're named Robert. One of my capital investors from years and years and years ago in the early 90s was the Kiyosaki, Bob and Kim. And they did exactly what this Bob does. They paid a placement fee of $10,000 per property. They put up all the down payments and signed for all the loans. With him, we had to have a special rule. No helping! Because he'd want to come and theorize what we're supposed to do and do it different. And I'd never let him talk to the people in the home, because he'd say all kinds of screwball stuff. But they made the word cash flow a household name, didn't they? And the game cash flow, if you guys are curious, I'm one of the inventors of the game. Most of the financial stuff that was done in the game, I taught it to them so they could do it, because that was my background, I understood that stuff. And what he would do is, he's a full-time seminar guy. He's very, very smart. He could be a very astute investor, but if you teach 200 to 250 days a year and you travel all over the world, are you at home running an investment company? No, of course not. It's not possible. Students make up that he is, but no. And he said, I'm not saying anything on term because I never do because of my background, my confidentiality. But he would all the time go, my buddy John Rose, he's great. First kind of like, I don't know. I put up all the money you can have. And he goes, that's right, I did it for a little while. Here's what I discovered. Half of what John made is more than we've ever made. And he takes care of everything. And he's like, he's made so much money and he's so honest about it. But the reality was, I couldn't give John enough money for him to run to a desolate run to a Caribbean island. There wasn't enough zeros to be tempted. Does that make sense? Today's volatile markets, in addition to preservation of capital, safety, security, people would need to look at the long-term free capital. Because all Bob wants is the same thing I want, the same thing you want. He wants to retire earlier and better. Who wants to retire earlier and better? That's all he wants. And he wants cash flow. Because you don't retire with capital, with lump sum to cash, you retire with cash flow. Rich and Dan, just same stuff. 6 deals in 90 days, 18 months, 24 deals, 2 years, $420,000 plus. Half of all the properties, half of all the equity, half of all the appreciation, half of all the debt paying down, and half of all the tax benefits. Both of them are Century Club members today, over 100 properties. Normal house. This is just the basic house that we would do. It's in Phoenix. Probably the big difference is our houses have fences in the backyards and yours don't. Because where I come from, every house has fence. And out in this part of the country, most houses, except for the rich people's houses, don't have fences. But where I grew up, everybody had a fence. We have a fence. We have fences. I don't know how you guys keep dogs in. We have fences. I guess you have ropes and chains. I'm not sure. What's that? You do the invisible fences now, but you didn't used to. And I bought houses in a lot of different states. I remember when I first started buying, like in Alabama, North Carolina, Kansas. It's like going, where's the fences? It's like, don't do that after. Okay, West Coast. The first time was in Alabama, and the real estate told me, well, John, that's why we're all related. No fences. Virgo, not mine. that, with that, and today, the question is, was 180 post or pre-rehab? It would be a post number, but most of our houses today, especially off MLS, we don't rehab anymore. Because right now, you pay more for a rehabber than a non-rehabber, don't you? Because it used to be, if it was a $200,000 house, and it needs $40,000 work, what did it sell for on MLS? $200,000 minus 40 would be 160. There's usually a little discount. You buy it for about 145, 150 grand, right? Veterans, help the newbies out, correct? Today, the $200,000 house that needs $40,000 for rehab sells for 190. You pay more to fix it up because people miss the dot. The rehab guy said, buy a fixer. And they forget all about it. You're supposed to buy it for a discount. A more fixer, what do I do now? And I've worked for a lot of people like, have you ever done a fixer? No. Did you ever work in construction? No. Was your daddy a contractor? No. What could go wrong, John? Let me help out for those that are new. This is a wall. We're going to go basics for a moment. Hang in there with me, veterans. This is a wall. It's a what? You're in a home and this is a wall. Let me assure you, there is nothing good behind it. Well, in this part of the country, we open it up because you have humidity. What's inside the wall? Mold and mildew. And it's all okay as long as you don't what? Open the wall. Because that's the way the rules work. That's the way the law works. And the wiring's not up to date and it's bad and the plumbing's not. There ain't nothing good behind the wall. And if you don't know what's supposed to be behind the wall, don't open it. Don't go in. So many of you, if you're newer, if you're what? Just buy nice houses and nice middle class neighborhoods. There's already all kinds of real estate investors who over rehab before them. And you don't get money for over rehabbing. You just get more money if you don't rehab. So we buy most of them ready to go, more or less. And there may be a few grand or not a few grand. And I think we know how to rehab and everything. Just right now in this era, I don't make a profit. Now, if this was 2010, I was buying nothing but rehabbers. Back then, you got a huge discount. But I know what year I'm in. And unlike a lot of educators, I'm not stuck 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years in the past. I live in today, in the real world. Today, in the real world, most of us overpay for a rehab. And that's if we know how to rehab. And if we don't know how to rehab, it's expensive. And the other thing, if you've been around, you already know, you would know this. It's like, you know, when a newbie thinks it's a $40,000 rehab, it's a $12,000 rehab, so they have to know what he's doing. First thing is, we know what not to fix. So I know in a regular neighborhood, I don't have to put in brand new stainless steel appliances and granite countertops and Italian marble. For those of you, if you're a rehabber and your wife keeps doing that at every house, check what your house looks like. It'd be way easier to rehab her kitchen rather than 20 flip houses. But she's just going to rehab it how she wants it in her own home. Just do it for her once at home. Regular house, regular neighborhood. You with me? This is the spreadsheet that you use. Yeah, if I hand you a spreadsheet, I did it right with Bob. He came on board. You're just happy as can be, right? And you guys loving your home? Yeah, okay. I'm good, too. With Scott, I show him spreadsheets. Regular spreadsheets. Problem with regular spreadsheets, no matter what you put in the spreadsheet, can something be added or taken away? So he's now got an objection and out from saying yes. Who created that 100%? Me. The other thing, those of you that are younger, you want to put everything in you can imagine. You do it in like 8-point font. You understand that older guys that have money, we can't read 8-point font. And people always say women are vain. Men are far more vain. Because the women will put the readers on. Men won't. Don't just sit there and go, There we go. Let me help you out. He's saying no because I can't read it, you idiot. So here's the spreadsheet. And again, don't show up with this on a PowerPoint. It's on a pad. I'm going safety, security. We have conversations long term. Usually at long term capital, Chuck, who's a potential capital investor, Chuck was saying like, but John, this is like a criteria, isn't it? This is like a list of things I want in every investment. Well, he's making a criteria for investment. Like being the ones who told them what goes on the criteria. Because that's what they think. And wasn't that kind of like the criteria that was the thing that a normal person who had money would want in their investment? So this is my spreadsheet. I draw a house. This one was worth about $205,000. It doesn't matter because you literally today can buy a $205,000 house for $205,000 and still make over 25% return. Because long as you help a family own, and you got a guy like Bob, you can get a good solid loan. We buy it for $180. We put $36,000 down. These numbers real? Hello? And if you got a question, just ask. But this is pretty simple, and this is exactly what I use in a home. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna. Yeah. So you're gonna get the placement fee. You're gonna put the offers in. He's gonna sign final escrow documents. Although we could do it legally with the POA, I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that Bob can't later come back and go, I didn't understand something. That makes sense? Now I can do all the written offers for the house because I'm the managing member of the LLC, the company, so that's my job. And he doesn't want to sign 25 offers to buy one house. Right? So Bob's going to put the $20,000 down. It's going to be a $144,000 loan. That'd be a first loan. Our property taxes are a little lower than yours, but our prices are a little higher. So we'd be looking at about 780 PITI. Now, again, we ain't doing hard money loans anymore. See, Bob's a real guy. I can connect Bob with, and we usually use a savings and loan or a local county type, tri-county bank, in-state bank, not a national bank. Bob can go in there, and Bob can get loans at 3.5, 4% long-term fixed rate because he's a real guy. Why not paying 5, 6, 7, 8%, you know, interest rates adjust in 6 weeks or 6 months and the whole deal blows up? We're just getting long-term real financing from a regular bank, just not national banks because they don't want to do this anymore. And there's two types of standard loans, conforming and non-conforming. Conforming, who's heard of conforming? All it means is it's government insured. Non-conforming means non-government insured. Right now, government insured, they'll allow you to have 4 loans. In my career, it's been 0 to 16. Right now, it's 4. Non-conforming, Bob can get as many loans as he wants as long as the bank says what? Yeah, because they don't sell the loan. Remember those of us that are older. Remember in the old days, you bought your house and you got financed from a bank in town, you made the payments to the bank? Those days are back. That's what we do now. So this is the PITI. Yes. 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 We're going to get this. So the investor is going to be, we're going to form a new LLC. You own half. I own half, and I'm the managing member, so I manage everything. But I want you to sign the loan docs from a liability point of view. He's going to put the money in. I'm going to get the place to be. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to find the house for this family. I'm then going to help Bob get a loan. Just all the things you need to do in a normal transaction, you're going to do. And the first time, there's a learning curve, and we walk you through it with the program. And once you've done it a couple times, the learning curve is pretty much what? Handled. It was like anything. I mean, the first time you drove a car, you didn't know how to drive a car. Some of you thought you did. None of you did. So I'm going to put $36,000 down. Bob is. $5,000 closing costs. This one had no repairs. If there were repairs, we'd put the number in. $41,000 in. This is an easy spreadsheet to follow. Hello? I get $1,795 a month. This is a deal we already did. This is a done deal. I pay $780 a month. I make $1,015 a month profit. Deals right now are thicker than at any time ever in the history of my career. We're making spreads like we never made before because the interest rates are really, really what? Low. And the rents are really, really what? High. See, and I learned this really, really well from Wall Street. We make money on a deal with very low possibility of risk and loss. I need to have one of two things. I either needed a wholesale price or wholesale term. Sometimes in my career, wholesale prices were pretty easy to get. Sometimes in my career, wholesale terms were easier to get. Right now, the interest rates are lower than they've been in 4 years. I got retail interest rates for wholesale. So I want to get every loan I possibly can for myself and with my great capital investors if we can lock in long-term, really cheap money. Does that make sense? So yeah, I could have bought this. This is why I do it this way. I could have tried to buy this for $120, and you know what? You make $100, $200, $300, $500 written offers, you'll get somebody who'll sell it to you. It's probably going to be yucky. You're going to fix it up. And then you'll end up refinancing, you know, at a higher rate. Why not just take the passive lease resistance, get the low interest loan with a nice low payment, and stop wasting all your time? And then, this is my profit. This is my year profit, and this is the calculation that Wall Street looked at, people have money made to look at. This is the first year cash on cash. We make money with lots of other things, it's going to go up in value, we can increase the rent, we get tons of tax deductions. But this is just how much did you put in and how much do you get back? New resident's going to give me $5,500 down. It's going to be, on this one, it was $3,900 plus the first month. Some of our houses are $4,900 plus the first month. They're going to give me about $5,500 down. You with me? Hello? Just a simple spreadsheet? Well, by the way, in the beginning, you can cheat. Just write it down and look at it until you got it figured out to do it without looking at it. And May didn't come to the training. They don't know that you're supposed to know your numbers and your words. I'm into it for 35.5. I make 12,180. I divide by 35.5. And you guys run around trying to make all this money in deals. 34%. And this is a deal that a newbie can do all day long. Agreed? Hello? This is not a 1 in 100 deal. This is like an extremely mediocre, vanilla, plain Jane, generic, nothing deal, cash on cash, 34%. The investor gets half, I get half. Yes, sir. Oh, the purchase price for the new residence, $269. That was a 180, good point. It was a 180 loan, 36 down, 140K finance. I got 144 first. Yeah, I bought it for 180. Yeah. And the reality was, this is a nice thing. The reality was, if I paid 220, what's that go to, 830? So now I make 950 a month, so I make 32% return. What we get caught up in is the wrong things. Why are they buying for 269? Because it's only worth 205. Amazing question. Who in the room has ever bought a car or truck? Show of hands. This should be everybody. Okay, let's back up. Who in the room has ever seen a television? Show of hands, please. Okay, keep them up. Keep them up. Check your neighbor's hand. If it's not up, please check for a pulse. Okay. So, $20,000 Honda. You go on cars.com and the Honda is $20,000. What's that car worth? $20,000. The car comes with financing at the Ford dealership. What's the car cost? $22,000, $21,000. The car comes with secondary financing, B paper. What's the car cost now? $25,000, $26,000. And then you go to Fast Freddy's used car, buy here, pay here, $30,000 car. What's the car worth? What's the car worth? What someone will pay? Well, the used car, my friend, and I have a license. I don't, but I have a good friend that does that has a license. And what he does is he goes to auctions and he buys that car for $8,000. And he does what you think is $5,000 worth of bodywork for $1,000. He does the car for $9,000. And he sells it for $24,000 for $1,000. What's the car worth? What someone is willing to pay and owner financing always charges a premium. And there's no premium. Yes. The question is, how do I present it to them? In this state, you call it a land contract. Land contract, there's rules called Dodd-Frank. I understand here many people are very cavalier and act like the law of America doesn't apply in the middle of America. It all fully does. The penalty for a Dodd-Frank violation would be I would have to return all of their down payment money plus 3 years of payment, even if only been there a month. Who wants to violate Dodd-Frank? So, I can do it under Dodd-Frank, under a land contract. Got to follow all the rules, dot the I's, and use an outside LMO, license mortgage originator. Or I can do a long-term lease with a separate option, no longer a lease option. They are never tenant buyers. If it's a tenant buyer, didn't you just imply they were the buyer? You probably just made a construction sale now applicable for Dodd-Frank, but you didn't follow. You're screwed. Well, nobody does that. I know two law firms that primarily they have departments that all those departments do is hunt down property owners who've done Dodd-Frank violations. pretend that the laws don't apply. They do. That's why a lot of people want to work with me, because I protect you by providing you the truth, even when you sometimes don't want to hear it. Most of my residents do a 10-year option with a long-term lease. And I need to give them 10 years. In reality, Medicare people, are they going to fix their credit bill, get a loan in 2 to 3 years? No. So if you're doing 2 to 3 year options, you're screwing everybody you put in the house, basically, right? Don't do that anymore. Plus, the longer they stay, the more you make. And I already worked with Bob's, and Bob is cool with a long-term loan and a long-term income stream. It's what we both want. Because he just wants what he wants. He wants to retire early with more money every month. And he already figured out having $1 million in the bank currently today, what pays you what, 10 grand a year? The other side of the bank pays about 1%. That's why he wants to place. That's the deal. Next one's tax benefits. All you need to know about tax benefits is real estate has lots of them. We teach you in great detail what they are, but if you don't know what they are, don't start that seminar. And tell them to ask their accountant, because all accountants say that they come with great tax benefits. Next thing is rate of return. Let me help you out. Bob doesn't want 17 or 15%. It's too what? Risky. Anything over 10 is too risky. He doesn't believe you can deliver it because he knows he doesn't know how. I tell Bob 5, 6%. Then I show him the spreadsheet. Like, wow, that's way more. I'd rather produce more than less. Anybody else? Because if I tell you 12 and I give you 11.88, I'm a crook. If I tell you 6 and give you 10, I'm a genius. Right? And anything above 10 is too much in this era. Too much. If you're lying to 25%, we're not a match. What you want, you can only get if you do it for yourself. And that takes a lot of education and a lot of commitment and a lot of training. Yep. Thank you. These are 6 points. That's what you need to learn. The 7th point is capital growth or appreciation. You need to be careful on this. Remember, Bob lost a third of everything he owned. And to him, it seems like it was 2 weeks ago, not 10 years ago. That pain lingered. In the English Commonwealth, they call appreciation capital growth. Everybody knows the capital growth and the appreciation, but it's a softer word. So I say capital growth. And I'm very soft with it. And if you'd like to know my formal training on Wall Street, private equity guys who only work for earnings, do you want what percentage we put in our spreadsheet for growth? Zero. Because the deal had to make money on its own. Because if we were betting on the market went up, it would probably go what? Down. For most real estate investors, a big part of the reason for buying is it's going to go what? Up. Does real estate always go up? Does it sometimes go down? And this one, whether it goes up or down, they're going to stay in their house. You and I are going to split the cash flow every month, whether it ever moves or not. Correct? That's a safety that gives him what he wants. So be soft with this. Don't run with this. Next thing is just, look, this is not about real estate. It's not about the deal. It's not about the money. It's not about the return. It's not about that. Because a lot of you tried to raise money doing all this stuff, and it didn't what? Work. This is about understanding their emotional needs and meeting them. Test those out, Eric. So, we'd asked early if we had an offer. I told you we did, and I promised I'd share it with you. Okay, if we do it now? Cool. You'll find the package is rather encompassing and comes with a lot of material. And there's a reason for it. First of all, we do it digital, which means I don't have to spend $400 or $500 producing the courses to give to you to carry home. By doing it digitally, you can do it that. And then the other thing is, I know for the fact, and here's the deal, I only do 3-4 trainings a year. That's it. And this is a business. It's a what? You know, so 12 CDs and 100-page manual, does that teach you a business? That teaches you just enough to go out and be dangerous. So, you're going to raise in private money. 26 CDs that take you through step by step how we do the talking points, how we find the house, what the house looks like, where we get the house, how we offer for the house, how we find the family, how we qualify the family, how we put the family in. So all of those details, 26 CDs. Cool? Next, we did an upgraded version 3.0 just to talk about today's financials. We did this at the very end of 19, beginning of 20. So you get that. Next, overcoming objections. I know you're going to be like me. You're going to talk to people who really are interested. And who believes you could talk to people who'd be interested in this? Show of hands. Who believes? Yeah. But some of them are going to have questions. They're going to have what? And lay people would call these objections. I've learned to call these expressions of interest. And here's the reason why. First of all, I feel better. It's better psychologically. But also, you wouldn't ask questions unless you're what? Interested. You don't object if you don't want to do it. You just don't object. Like, hey, yeah, that's cool. And no. The reason they're having objections is because they're interested. So, who believes that I've heard basically any objection that could ever come up with a choice? And how'd you like the answer before you do it? There's also six steps to handle the objection. Let me show you how to do it. To really define what the objection is and the proper answer. Then I give you the actual answer. We go through the main objections for every member here. We go through them and give you the answer. Because I know you're going to get them. Because I still get them today and I know what to do. And I got them when I was new. So I had to learn what to do. Next thing, private money contracts. The documents in the contract that we use, and the exact outline of how we use, what entities we use, what we don't use, and why, all covered. You get all the documents I use. So the documents that Bob and I in the real world would use, not a seminar example, are all there. The exact docs that Bob and I would both execute. All the language, all the details, all the fine print is there. We also then have the Dodd-Frank solution, which Dodd-Frank has got a lot of teeth in it. And the worry is not the federal government. The worry is an attorney who figures out, wow, way more money chasing landlords who done creative financing and violated Dodd-Frank than doing divorces and bankruptcies. Because you have money. West Coast, used to be stuff started on the East Coast and ended on the West Coast. That shifted in the last 20 years, hasn't it? West Coast, they are suing for Dodd-Frank violations all over. Coming to you to protect yourself. We saw West Coast, we also don't do land trusts because most of the United States were full disclosure states. You must disclose the actual beneficial interest of who owns the entities. And if you don't, it's criminal, not civil. It puts you in prison. It's a different world out there. So we don't do that. We just make sure we have them in real good asset protection, which we teach you to. Next thing, contracts and documents. So, when I move this family in, do you think I'm just using like the realtor's rental lease? No. Do you think I got the stuff at Staples or I bought at Legal Doom online? No. They're very customized documents based on 30 plus years of doing this. You get the document, we get the document. And if I'm buying on owner financing, we use very separate documents. If I'm buying on or selling on owner financing, good. Let me be clear on this. I've been doing this a long, long time and I've done more deals than anybody here. I never buy without a deed, ever. I never buy on a lease option. I never buy on a master lease. And I never buy on a lease purchase or any of those other documents. Why? Because I do not have control, and I've done enough to realize that sometimes things go really, really what? Bad. Like, what do you mean, John? They will not willingly sign the documents to sell the house. Well, they have to. Yes, they do. And it takes 6 months to 2 years to get into court and make them do it. No, but they have to. Yes, they do. And it takes 6 months to 2 years. I only buy with the deed. Only.
But what if they won't do the deal and give you the deed?
I go to the next deal. There's tons of them. I only buy with the deed. And then when I remark it, so I can take it back faster if there's non-performance, I retain the deed. I buy with the deed. And I sell without the deed until you cash me out. So I always own the deed in an entity, no exceptions ever. And the reason is, I've done this thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And years ago, we did it the other way. And lots of stuff went wrong. We talked about this earlier. Human beings fundamentally learn one of two ways. You either go screw it up all by yourself and lose money, or you listen to somebody who has a lot of wisdom. The cheaper way is to invest in the content and use my wisdom so you don't lose money. Creative financing, how we do buy and sell. How we do subject to, how we do owner financing, how we do mirror wrap, how we do land grab, how we do all that cool stuff. 3-day course. And then we do four CDs that are just on how you explain the transaction to the family. Because you've got to be able to explain it clearly, simply, and concisely. And so we give you the scripts word for word, and you can role play those with me. And then the appointment scripts. You're going to start calling to raise money. When you start out, you need to practice. You need to what? So the first thing you do is we call it your sphere of influence, and you're going to call people you know and go out and present and show it to them. You need to do about 20 presentations to be confident. So we give you the scripts, you set the appointment. And then the last thing, this is a bonus, it's a what? April 2nd through 4th and April 8th through 10th, they're back-to-back three-day weekends in Phoenix. I only do these events in Phoenix. I don't do them anywhere else, so I'm never going to. These events will take you step-by-step exactly how we do it, focusing on all aspects of it. A couple of nice things, I bring in a very, very high-end attorney that we use to do entities and structures to kind of disseminate all the seminar land, this stuff that are out there, and just say, honestly, this is what you should do. Your level is this much, at this level is this much, but it's not there selling it, so there's no packaging to provide it. You're just going to get the truth on how entities and structures are designed by actual business people, not seminar land stuff. Cool. The other thing we do that's extraordinarily unique is one of the days we go to my office for an afternoon and you get to go see what a real bricks and mortar real estate company, investment company looks like. But you know what? If you do this for real, you ain't running it out of a bedroom. That's how you start. If you're a real estate investment company, you have a building with lots of people who work for you. You have warehouses. You have places where you do construction. You have lots and lots of pieces. It's a real business, correct? We take you there, and the other thing we do is you can then look at our board. You'll see the deals I have going on, the deals I just did. You'll see real deals, real addresses that we have just completed or in the process of completing. And the numbers most of you your job is from, because that was a real generic candy land type of thing. Much better than that. Very comprehensive course. If you can't make one of those dates, I do events twice other during the year, and you can come one other day to my office. Well, don't make that the reason why you don't come, because you have something already that we can. So this is the course. You already got there. There's a lot there. It's normally $14.90. Yeah, that's the value. It's normally $14.97. You can go to my website. It's $14.97. Here at RIA, they have it for $9.97. And here's the deal. What other students tell me. It's like, wow. I keep going down the path. First of all, you already screwed me up, John, because I get the pink elephant. Who gets the pink elephant? Who gets it? The real problem with real estate is you need money. So you've already screwed me up, John. Because I can go back and I can go, you know, to another seminar in a week and I can pretend money doesn't matter, but the reality is it does. And most of them tell me I'm the only guy who ever told the truth about the money, that you need the money and how to get it. It's just the reality. And so this fixes that. Why go and hope you put together a deal and hope you get an offer accepted and hope you can assign it or flip it, or wholesale it, which I don't know if you know it, November 1st in the state of Oklahoma, the first one to do it. If you do a flip in the state of Oklahoma, you must be a licensee. Because the tremendous abuse that unfortunately was done by bad actors and bad applicants, you need to be a licensee. Why? Because too many real estate investors non-perform on assignments and contracts. There's also states that are now prosecuting assignment and contract non-performance for fraud, because you're taught to give them a letter that says you have that you've been approved for a loan, when in fact the letter is bogus and the whole world knows it, correct? That's loan fraud. That's fraud. You go to jail for that stuff. And unfortunately, we're in an era where the government needs to come in and regulate, because we wouldn't regulate ourselves. Enough bad apples are rooted for all of us, so I welcome the legislation. What it does now is it clearly says, this is what's okay and this is what's not, because most good people won't break the law. Bad people don't care. It's like, what do you mean, Douglas? It's always been against the law to rob a bank. Yet banks are robbed every day. Just, you know, 99.9% of us when we look around, who's the one? 99% of us in this room know that if you rob a bank, even if you get the money, you're going to go to jail, so you don't rob a bank. Well, we need to do that with real estate investors now. You can't make offers to buy houses when you don't have money and you don't buy them. And then in Oklahoma, you need to do material disclosure. What do you mean? Well, Colin, you would never have done this. But if you knew a guy, say, named Mike, and Mike had made 50 written offers and tied 50 houses up on an assignment of contract and never ever bought one, who thinks that would be a material fact that would need to be disclosed by a licensee?
But if I did that, no one would ever put a house under contract with me.
There you go. Because that's what happens. They don't buy it. You get these things rampant everywhere. Yeah, I love it. You see this house on 5 or 6 different lists, wholesale lists, which are never wholesale, and it's still on MLS, meaning no one actually bought it. See, that's a bad thing to do to people. You're looking for the other end. We got to get to the other end. So I realized that, look, man, I got to give this family a real home in good condition that they can afford that works for them. And most people are just like, hey, I leased off to you, got a bunch of money and they couldn't pay. It's great. I screwed them. It's a real family you screwed. Well, the same thing as you people who do assignment and contracts. I mean, they make an offer to you, and you accept the offer, and it's supposed to close in 30 days. A normal person, you believe the home is absolutely going to close, and when? 30 days? You get boxes, you pack everything you own, you send a bunch of stuff to Goodwill, you pack everything up, you hire a mover, or you get a moving truck, you go rent or buy something else, because it never even crosses regular people's mind that there would be people so unscrupulous to intentionally tie up houses and never buy them. Because you're screwing her totally. That's what you do.
What do I do then?
And that you're going to see that across the country stop. Texas, by the way, is just implementing legislation effective in January to stop people who screw people in homes because they didn't give them a fair go to home. It's unfortunate. 10 years ago, I'd have been against it. Today, it's like, yeah, we need to do it. It's gone too far. Way, way too many bad apples. Doing way, way too many things. And in many cases, unfortunately, taught by way too many people who are educating each other. So we got to deal straight with people. Who likes that? Yeah, we can be honest and make a lot of money. $297. I mean, it's $997 with the travel allowance. And just as we finish up, look, why continue to do all? I'm not. Yeah. Why continue to do all the work and hope it works out? Why not do a model that works absolutely? But all we got to do is find a good family for a home. Who can do that? All we got to do is learn the presentation and find a bob or two to put up money to buy a house. Who can do that? And then we just need to go buy a house for about what it's worth when you're new. Maybe we'll get it cheaper, but starting out, see, we're going to buy it for about what they're worth. If you had money, who could buy a house? That's all it is. If you do that, $10,000 up front for a house, half the cash flow and everything long term, and everybody wins. Who likes the model? $10,000 comes from Bob. That's the fee I'm charging Bob. You got it. Yep. That comes from Bob. And if you have money, if you have what? You've been paying fees for investments your entire life. Your entire life. Broke people don't pay fees. Part of why they're broke. They never get expertise. So, I'm going to be in the back. I'll take your question. I'll take any question you want. I'll be hanging out and answering questions. If you guys want to do it, you need to go to the back. They've got the order form. You can get it placed. You'll get the package. In the next few days, and then we'll be working together. Also, you can call, once you get the package, you can call my office, talk to my office, email my office, and we will help you learn the system. And I don't have any telephone operators in my office. Everybody who works in my office works for the real estate investment company, so you'll be talking to people who work at an investment company and our investors, not somebody on a phone line. Read the script. Cool? All right, I'll be in the back. We'll see you guys back there. You bet. Thank you. Okay. You're welcome. Shazad. Oh, that's a cool sound. In an LLC that is owned by Bob and you. And then they will be having the right to buy it, but they don't get the deed until they pay it off. Correct. Very similar to a car. Because if you're about a car on payments, you know you don't own it. Ford Credit does. Yeah, same thing. Thank you. My pleasure. No, that's just a normal placement fee. husband and wife only count as one, but if I pull three or more, then I probably created security. If he has no involvement whatsoever, I probably created security. But what we do is we form a business. You have to sign the loan docs. We have an annual meeting date. They usually don't show up, but they had scheduled. And in major decisions, you're involved. That makes you now an active investor, which gives you better tax benefits. And there's no guarantees of return. And so we very clearly, the four things that would generally make it a strong possibility of security, we do not do any of the four. If you start to advertise or market to people you do not know, that is probably a security, and I would say it is. And most people I know at seminars who teach fundraising, they're just teaching security violence. So if we're going to do that, then we're going to do another set of documents, and we're going to make it security and raise money as a security. What most people will tell you, it's far easier to get people you know to meet with you and listen to you. And the problem with strangers who have a bunch of money is like, well, I got 1,000 of you reaching out to me every year trying to get my money. Why would I talk to you? I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. Why would I meet with you? As opposed to, hey, Larry, it's John. How you doing? Hey, how's Aunt Mary? Larry, I was wondering if I could come on by and share with you guys what I'm doing and get your opinion. Would Tuesday night or Thursday night be better? And most people we know, they would say Tuesday or Thursday. Right? And so that's what we do. The hedge fund. There's different models. So if the challenge is, if I borrow the money, who now has to make the payments whether it works or not? I do. And you've been around long enough, like me, Larry, do things go wrong sometimes? Horribly wrong? See, one thing Wall Street taught me, Wall Street's really good, is they take risks. They take what? And they hand it off. They hand it off. So it's like, yeah, I may make a little bit less. It doesn't mean I'm not going to do some money like that, but I don't want to do all of it. Because then if everything hits the fan, what if the next administration just goes to the next level? Hey, by the way, no one in America needs to make a rent payment for 2 years with no recourse, even if it's owner financing. And I still had to pay a hedge fund every month. I'm bankrupt. So I've got it designed where I've got better docs to protect me. Great question, though. Yes, but that's part of their job. They're the capital investor. That's why they get half of all the profits rather than just an interest payment. So, and they have to tax it. So they get more, and they have a responsibility. Yeah. Wall Street's very good about fairly distributing risk. And our job is to make sure the house never goes down. Us. I love your question, by the way. Subject to deal done properly, you do have the deed. My extreme preference is that we have the deed recorded. So it's data recordation, not date of execution in America. And I don't know exactly how like Dina and Bill are doing it today. Execution is when you do the docs. So in the old days with the land trust, those of us have been around, the old days is you get the deed and you wouldn't record the deed, you'd hide the deed and hold the deed. And those have been around, that's how they all did it, right? And I don't think that's how they're doing it anymore, yeah. So what we do when I buy, and in my state's full disclosure state, so why put it in a land trust? There's zero benefit. Land trust provides no asset protection. It's a Venetian blind, which can be good, but that's all it is. We just buy it directly in the LLC, and the day we buy it, we openly and notoriously, that's the legal description, are in violation of the due on sale clause. But we've given notice. That's what's required under law. We've given notice, and then we've recorded. So that way, when they file for bankruptcy in 2 years, I'm sent the notice, and I can immediately go down, because I'm in chain of title, with a deed recorded, I can go down and go, hey, look, my attorney just goes, hey, Your Honor, motion to stay. They don't own the house anymore. The loan's in their name, but they don't own it. My client bought it, and here's the recorded deed. Oh, for a recorded deed, you can't bankruptcy his house, because it's not your house. But the loan's in my name. Doesn't matter. And it comes out. If you're not making your house payments, probably going to have other bad things happen later. So you get an IRS lien, judgment, all of them going against the house, because the house still looks like who owns it. You do. You don't. I do. So I just record it openly and notoriously. We buy an LLC, we record the deed, That's how I like to do it. And also, I'm primarily a West Coast guy. And the West Coast, most estates I'm in on the West Coast require you under law to disclose the true beneficial interest. And if you do not, it's not civil. It is a criminal act. Who owns it? So the idea with a land trust is you disguise who owns the beneficial interest. That's the big thing it does. There's nothing wrong with that. When you do more, put them in an LLC. Asset protection is to protect assets. So if you don't have a bunch of assets, you don't need a bunch of asset protection. Right? Yeah. Great question. Yeah, so we lock it in, and we give people a fair go. And if you want, you can use $50, $100 a month credit.